fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, and good morning. We'll talk today about building our life around the King, around Jesus Christ. If you had a chance to tune in the program yesterday, the theme was on Seek First the Kingdom of God. And following up on last week's programs, talked a fair amount about the importance of understanding the Christian life as a spiritual combat. I won't review all that. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to it, you go to our website at renewalministries.net, and you can listen to the programs right there at on our website, or download them and put them on your iPod. Listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. Well, the best way to fight the enemy, the best way to engage each day in the spiritual combat, is to put first things first. And Monday I talked about that beautiful passage from Proverbs chapter 3. The writer of Proverbs gives us the wisdom, you know, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's a big change. It's a big challenge. There's a big difference between leaning on your own understanding and trusting God. Trusting yourself first or trusting God first. And that has to be solved if we're going to have any success in resisting the temptations and the wiles of the enemy. Because we have to dethrone ourselves and enthrone Jesus Christ. We have to move ourselves out of the center of our concern and being preoccupied with our own dreams, passions, anxieties. Friends, it's interesting. I mean, I'm 56 years old now, and I've met a lot of people throughout my life from all walks of life all over the world. And it's amazing to me to just see how often, even very passionately focused and dedicated people to whatever goals they have in mind, don't always know what it is that's motivating them to do it. To be successful, for example. Some people may be motivated very powerfully by a conscious or even subconscious drive of a fear of not being successful. And so they're just so driven and they're so focused, even though they're successful, it's not a healthy drive that's moving them. They're really moved by fear, or the kind of anxiety we spoke about yesterday when Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. And to a person like that, the one I'm describing, Jesus' words can just seem absurd and ridiculous. Like, of course I'm going to be anxious about everything. I've got a tremendous amount on my plate. I've got tons of people relying on me. I've got deadlines to meet. I've got loans to pay off. I've got so much I've got to do. And the key, Jesus is saying, just stop right there, right where you are. He knows all that's on your plate. But he also wants you to have perspective and to understand what matters most in life. This is where his line, the famous line Jesus said, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul in the process? Because what can happen is we can be so driven by a fear of failure. Maybe, you know, some people have mainly grown up in very difficult places. I've talked to guys who said, you know, one of the reasons they're so driven is his dad lost his money in the Depression. His dad always had anxiety about it. He grew up in a house that was anxious about it and said, that's never going to happen to me. I'm going to be a success. I'm never going to be without money or without want. And so there's this drive. And so the root of it sometimes is an unhealthy root. It's fear. It's anxiety. And Jesus is saying, if you operate on anxiety and you're driven by fear, you're not going to be driven by the peace and grace of my spirit that I want to put within you that's going to lead you to prioritize things right in your life. Because when we're preoccupied and dominated by drives or dreams or goals that consume our mind, heart, our ideas, our imagination, our time, and our energy, without maybe intending it, we end up pushing God to the margins of our life, and we're out of order. It's easy to get out of order when we lose sight of the big picture. What really matters, and this is why the Christian has light and wisdom, if he's listening or she's listening to the Lord, the eternal perspective reminds me that what really matters in my life is being in right relationship with God. And as Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness. So if you're driven, as I was just describing it, if you know someone like that, or maybe it's you, if you know someone like that, and you have a relationship with them, to have a conversation at some point, are you seeking first the kingdom of God, and are you seeking his holiness? Guy might say, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to do. Well, ask some concrete questions. Do you pray? Do you have time set aside each day, just you and the Lord, in conversation with God? Are you reading God's word in your life? Are you regularly honoring the Sabbath? Are you keeping holy the Lord's Day? Are you worshiping God? Are you keeping the Lord at the center of your life? What are you doing with your time? Is your time all about the drive for you to success, or do you have time for these other things? Not only, you know, when you think about it, you say, well, he might say, well, what does Jesus want from me? What does he expect from me? Well, he expects you to think like a disciple, not like a pagan. He expects you to think like a son, like someone who understands what his Father has in store for him. Someone who understands that life here is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. What really is valuable is the stuff that's going to last forever. What is not even close to being as valuable is all the stuff that's going to pass away, like money, right? Or possessions, or the right neighborhood, you name it, whatever it is that's driving you. And Jesus is saying, if you stay in that anxiety, what you're saying is that the idol in your life, the most important thing in your life, the thing you're surrendering yourself to, what you're bending your knee to, what you think is going to bring you the relief that you desire, the comfort, or whatever it is, the influence, the power, the security, whatever it is, that becomes your idol. You're essentially worshiping that thing. You may say, oh, that's nonsense. Well, no, it is actually true. Because that's where you put your time, your talent, your treasure. And that's first in your life, not God. So what you've done is, maybe not intentionally, but what you've essentially done, and that's what matters, is you've dethroned God. And you've put other things in front of him because you think your life is radically dependent upon those things. That's a lie. Those things can't save you. In fact, those things, apart from God, I mean, they might be neutral in their value, they might be positive in their value, but if they're leading you to be disconnected in your relationship with God and really out of balance, those things are not going to be the source of your freedom. They're going to be the chain around your neck that's going to lead you to potentially be eternally separated from God, and that's foolish. St. Peter put it this way, it's the empty futility of a darkened mind. Jesus came to shine light into your mind and into your heart and into your spirit so you really can value what's truly valuable. I mean, all around the world, all around the country, especially in our countries that travel, there's a whole lot of baptized people buying the fool's gold, living all out for the things of this world because the world is set up to seduce us to do that very thing. So that will never lead us to happiness or fulfillment. So listen to the Lord. The Lord is saying, seek first the kingdom of God. And the concrete expression of that is very important. You know, it's, as I said, the daily prayer, reading of scripture, frequenting the sacraments, finding your place in the service of the kingdom, serving the poor, serving the broken, the lost, the marginalized, using your time, talent, and treasure as well to enter into the new evangelization. Because really, as the Second Vatican Council taught us, you can distill God's call in your life to two things, the universal call to holiness and the universal call to mission. Every single person is called to holiness, which is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? The great commandment. Jesus is calling you to live that out every day in the work world. Do you love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. So right there in the midst of the business you're building or whatever you're in, the drama of your life is unfolding. The most important thing on the day is not the bottom line, though that matters. That's significant. But for you, it's not the most important thing is how do you go about it? As you pursue a dream, as you exercise your entrepreneurial gifts, or whatever it is you're doing, the question is, how are you going about doing it? Are you living in love? This is right there is where the drama of your life unfolds. So the great commandment to love God and neighbor has very concrete expression. Am I putting God first? Do I worship the Lord? Do I pray? Am I in conversation with God? Do I fast and give alms? Do I tithe? What do I do with my money? Do I honor God as the scripture commands, the church commands? Do I honor God with my resources? Do I miss Mass on Sundays because I'm too busy doing other things? Am I giving to God what belongs to God or not? That's how you express that love. If you love me, Jesus says, you'll obey my commands. His commandment is to love your neighbor, love God, love your neighbor. So, and concretely, are you loving the people in your life each day in such a way that you're treating them in the way you would like to be treated? You're treating them with the dignity of sons and daughters of God, even if they don't know they're sons and daughters of God. You grasp the dignity of the human person. You don't use people. It's so important. So the great call you have is one, the universal call to holiness, and then the universal call to mission. The universal call to mission is go make disciples of all nations. People say, well, what does God want me to do? He wants you to seek holiness, and he wants you to seek mission in the midst of your life, your vocation. So in your family, are you raising your kids seriously in the Lord? Are you and your wife praying together? Do you talk about the Lord? Do you have a plan for your family life? Do you pray together as a family? Do you, as a father and a mother, do you model for your kids the kind of life in Christ you want to raise them in? The statistics are there. If dad's all in, and dad's going to church every Sunday because it matters to him and it's important to him, a very high percentage of the time, the kids will go and they'll live their life into their teens and young adult age. They'll be able to embrace the life of the faith and become followers of Jesus at a much higher rate. So, are you doing the work of evangelization? Are you making your home a domestic church? Is it a place where you're together seeking the Lord? The commandment of Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Is that what your family is doing? As mom and dad, are you teaching? Are you seeking the Lord together? Is he first in your life? And are you creating a pattern of life, a simple pattern of life, where your kids can express that too? Do you have the kind of life where you can actually talk about your faith? Usually, if that's not happening, dad is often responsible, not totally. It's not just his responsibility. But if mom and dad are not comfortable talking about God or the things of God, the kids won't be either. So think about it. How do we resist the work of the devil? How do we fight him? We seek first the kingdom. And that means in all these concrete ways, we have an integrated life around the person of Jesus. And we not do it just by ourselves, but our family, our parish community, and other people. We're all on a journey, and we're all seeking first the kingdom and seeking to bring as many people as possible into that as well. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.